Welcome to the Daily Sales Show, hosted by Sell Better. Hello, everyone. Welcome in. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Sell Better Daily Sales Show. We're so glad that you're here. If this is your first time joining us, we do this every single day. You can check out the whole lineup of upcoming events at sellbetter.xyz, or you can scan that QR code on the screen. If you would rather listen on your daily commute, you could also find us in your favorite podcast area. I need to figure out a better way to say that. Wherever you listen to podcasts, let us know where, or tell us what your week is looking like. Give me like a, are you excited? Give me your emotions about this week in the chat. I got to hear. Oh yeah, Matt Green coming in with podcast provider, way better. Wee woo, Aaron. I mean, what a way to start a Monday. You're just ready for it. Okay. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor today, a little bit different than typical. Support Now. I feel like everyone, unfortunately, finds themselves at some point in their life needing a little extra support, or needing to support someone in their lives, whether it's illness, injury, loss of a loved one. And I always have a hard time asking for help from my family and friends. Support Now is one area that you can coordinate all of these different ways for family to support you, whether it's financially or a meal train or helping take the kids to and from school. Really great mission, really great group of people. Check it out. We're going to drop a link here in the chat. Today, we are chatting about how to consistently hit quota by overcoming three challenges that we're seeing. And we have some really special guests here to join me. Victoria from LivePerson, give us your fancy wave. What do you got?
Oh, I was just going to do, hey, guys.
I like it.
Two hands.
Two-handed wave, I'm telling you. There's something magic. And Matt from Sales Assembly. Hey, Matt.
Hey, looking forward to this. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Today, if you're looking for what we're covering, we are going to talk about these three challenges that we have on a report. You're getting some data here in a second. But how to overcome competition, budget, and leadership alignment. Before we dive in, I would love to see who we have in the room. So I launched a quick poll. But as that is running, I just want to take a look at these numbers together before we dive into our thoughts and our feelings. And this comes from a Gartner sales leader study where they took 1,000 sales leaders and they were asking the top things. Like, here's a list of 50 things. What are the top things that you see holding your team back from hitting quota? So 54% said competition in the market, 48% budget restrictions, 44% said executive leadership alignment. Just curious, before we dive into any of this, what are your thoughts on that? Do you feel like this is a pretty good sample, or is there something that you think is missing from your perspective on like what's holding teams back right now?
I wouldn't say that there's anything missing. I think the report, the data is there for a good reason. I wouldn't add that. I mean, in our conversations with go-to-market leaders, and more importantly, the actual individual contributors that are on the front lines, yeah, it's primarily the competition and budget. That's what we hear a lot of. Lack of alignment from a leadership perspective internally. Don't hear that as much personally, but it seems like if people are responding that way, you know, then that is a big, significant issue in the marketplace right now.
Yeah, 44%. That says something.
Pretty big number, I would say.
Agree. Victoria, is there anything that you would add, or you feel like this is a good corner on what you're seeing too?
No, I think these are really great topics. Obviously, you know, especially being an SDR leader, you face a lot of objections in terms of budget. And that's probably our number one that we get. And also not interested, but that one, I feel like you can kind of fluff your way in.
Yeah.
But I would also say, I think the number one important thing is having the sales leadership alignment is super important. So I'm excited to touch on that later on as well.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. Oh yeah, I see Alex diving in. DEI, talent acquisition, L&D. Yep, agreed. Let's start with competition. I think it's something that we hear kind of right off the bat in conversations. It can come up really early in a sales cycle. And I'm curious, because I feel like sometimes that some of these challenges or deflections get brushed off by whether it's senior leadership or someone else in the organization as being an excuse. So from your perspective, give me, is this a legit challenge or is it an excuse? I want to hear from everyone in the chat too. Competition, is this a legit challenge for you or do you think this is an excuse that you're, you know, you throw in there? Victoria, what's your take?
I think it's a legit challenge, to be honest, because I think it's really important for number one, to you, for you to understand like where it is that you, you know, align with your competitor or how you, like something Matt, you were saying earlier is that, you know, some competitors are good at one certain thing, but your product might be good at another. So it's really dependent on like the outcome that you want or the results that you're trying to drive and really understanding like where it is that you fit and the results that you can drive in your product.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that a lot of this, especially right now, I mean, thinking where we are in, you know, Q2 of calendar year or calendar Q2 of 2024, you know, we just got off, many of us just got off, you know, 2 years, 2020 to 2022 of companies buying everything, right? Because they had money to buy everything. That was just the fashionable thing to do and everything looked cool. And it's like, oh, all the promises about how it's going to improve efficiency and effectiveness and this, that, and the other thing. And 2023, of course, was pretty rough. You had like a lot of stuff that was kind of cooled down from a tech stack and the tooling perspective, and that leaves us where we are today, where a lot of what sellers have to struggle with is selling against incumbents, right? It's, you know, it could be selling against, oh, I've been in a competitive deal for a net new solution, right, that this company is evaluating right now. But also, let's not ignore the fact that a lot of times sellers today, they have to sell against an incumbent solution, right? Which is tough because then you're dealing with like, okay, how can we motivate this buyer to even consider ripping and replacing what they have already?
Yeah, definitely. I think the chat is very divided. There's quite a few people who say on either side, but I do think that, where was it? Mary's legit sometimes. That's the most sales answer right there. Legit sometimes. Talk to me, Victoria, how can we kind of overcome, like, what's the best way to prepare ourselves for the competition from your perspective? Is there something that we can do to take a better position for ourselves against competition in the market?
Yeah. And one thing I will, before I answer this real quick, I think competition is a good thing because yes, you can tweak your product, you can make it better, you can kind of see like what else is out there. And since we're all in tech, we're always innovating. And I feel like product is always changing at all times, essentially. So I would say it's more so like a challenge. But to answer your question, I say like get really granular in understanding how you compare to your competitor. You know, I think understanding where a company's pain, you know, like we talked about it before, but like break their butt, right? So understanding like where they're really bleeding and how your product is different in terms of what they're already using and how you can position your solution to it. So high level, I would say get really good in your talk track and understanding how you differ from the market.
When you say break your bot really quick, can you explain how that works for, I mean, maybe different industries too?
Yeah. So LivePerson, for instance, right? We're an AI messaging software. So we look at other competitors and other platforms that maybe like, let's say Macy's is using for their customer service and break their AI bot essentially and like finding out what their pain is. So it depends on what you're selling, right? So like Matt, you are CRO at Sales Assembly. You can't break someone's bot, but maybe you can understand, you know, what your current prospect is using for sales training and sales tools and understanding like where the pain is that they're finding and how, you know, your product can be a better solution.
Yeah, don't throw a challenge out there. Matt's just going to start finding bots all around the internet.
I have something to do this week, you know?
Yeah.
But Matt, you can use that slogan to anything, essentially.
Agree. Matt, how would you go about kind of arming yourselves against competition or preparing? I guess arming if you're breaking bots everywhere.
Yeah. If you break a bot, you have to worry about all the cleanup too afterwards. That's why I don't break ones on my end. But I do think that Victoria made an excellent point about, again, just knowing the talk track, taking that a step further. And I'm blatantly stealing a lot of this from one of my personal sales here is Todd Capone. How do you differentiate yourself in the competitive market? It's being upfront and transparent about the things that you are not the best at, right? Especially in these days when seemingly every organization is selling some sort of platform, right? It's like, oh no, we're ready to do everything. We do this. There is a lot of value in coming in and saying like, hey, we do this one or these one or two things really well, right? Sure. I mean, we can add value in like these three, four or five things, not really our bread and butter, right? If that's important to you, then we're not going to be the right fit, right? So just framing it as an example, sales assembly, and this isn't a pitch or anything, but what we provide is training for the go-to-market teams of B2B software companies. And all that we do is live training, right? We don't do on-demand. We don't do, you know, any of that stuff. So when we engage with prospects and they have global teams in like APAC, you know, Australia, New Zealand, we're like, look, I mean, do we have some on-demand content? Sure, but that's not why you want to engage with us, right? If you have teams in North America, Western Europe, that's where sales assembly is going to be a good fit, right? If that is kind of within the Venn diagram, if that's really where we have overlap, that's where it might make sense to go with us. Absent that, it doesn't make sense to go with us. So the way that Todd would put this, he actually took the learning from Tyra Banks, of all people. She said, be flossom, right? Lead with your flaws, right? Lead with, here's what we don't do well. And if this is what you're interested in, other companies are going to be a better fit than we are. What that does, number one, make sure that you're not wasting your time on prospects that probably aren't going to close anyway. But number two, from a buyer perspective, it starts the relationship by building a sense of credibility that you might not have had before, because you are being transparent upfront and saying like, well, let me start by telling you what we don't do well and why you don't want to buy us, right? Which puts you in a good position to hopefully have a much better sales cycle, provided that the prospect is actually qualified.
My actor.
I love it. Love the mic drop moment. I think that's a great point. I feel like that is a really good overview on competitors. And I would love to hear what you think about the next one. The next highest vote was 48% with budget restrictions. And we got a little preview, but I have to hear just your quick answer on legit challenge or excuse. What do we think? Vote in the chat too. Budget restrictions. If I see an excuse on this one, I have to dig in. You guys, legit challenge or excuse? Oh, Lex coming in hot with an excuse.
And Ryan Turner, yeah, a lot of people choosing violence in the chat today. I like it.
Majid as well.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, from your perspective, excuse or legit challenge?
Going back to what you mentioned before, legit with an asterisk, side of it. I do think that it is legit, but I think that it is our job as salespeople, obviously, to know how to navigate, you know, to walk into, especially now, again, post-2020, walk into every conversation with a presumption that they don't have budget. Right? You know, we just need to start from there. And as long as we could start from there and, again, engage every single conversation knowing that they probably don't have budget for this, it's going to put us in a better position to actually find ways to counteract that.
Victoria?
Well, Dana said in the chat, there's always ways to work around it.
Always. Yeah, I totally agree. I think always, like you said, Matt, assume that there's going to be no budget. But I think also it really depends on who you're selling to. And, you know, if you're talking to your champion, you want to work with like a partner with your champion, right? Like, how do I make you look good? Find out where your company is bleeding. Find out where they're really like, hey, if you don't use this, like, this is where you can lose in the long run. So instead of saying like, hey, like, I, you know, you have no budget, yada, yada, whatever. But I think really maximizing on the ROI and how you can really like partner with your champion or buyer to make sure that you're not going to just be spending a lot of money, but in the ultimate long run, you're going to be saving a lot of money.
So it's painting the vision and the story for them to help them see budget in a different light, right? It's not just what you're spending.
Right. It's like, here's what you're saving, actually. Like, if you don't do something about this now, you're going to be losing even more down the line, essentially.
Long-term costs. Okay, let me bring up, is there anything else on the, when we had chatted before, we had talked about some things. Victoria, I think you were talking about making your champions look good in terms of budget. And you talk about like helping them see the savings. How can they share that? How can they look good internally by sharing those savings?
I think also just as sellers show, like, here's what your current state looks like and here's what future state can look like. And being able to, you know, kind of hold your champion's hand and showing like what it can look like. And I'm not saying don't sell the art of possible, right? Is that the saying? Art of possible? I think so. Yeah, art of possible. But just showing like current and future state, I would say. I don't know, Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right on. I mean, illustrating the cost of inaction, right? Here's what it's going to cost the organization for you to not take advantage of this. But a couple things, you know, you mentioned, Victoria, something about making your champions look good. That is really the key, right? And taking a step back, you know, one of the things that we did here at Sales Assembly about a year ago, right after SVB and, you know, that whole fiasco, which was a hot stone massage for all of us, we sent out a survey to the CFOs of a handful of companies, or, you know, a few dozen companies that we work with. And we just asked them, okay, how do you buy stuff? Right, just ask them straight up. Is a series of like five or six questions, and of all the answers that we got, I mean, two things stuck out for us. Number one, a CFO doesn't want to look at anything that's more than one or two pages long. Right? So when you're talking about like empowering your champions to get the check written, you know, it's a lot of salespeople that they veer towards. Okay, well, let me. This, I'm going to put together this 20-page deck. I'm going to tell this really cool story that's going to include this ROI and, you know, the cost of inaction as well. And that's great for selling the champion, but that's not the kind of stuff that you want to use when the champion says, like, okay, well, let me go get budget for this, right? You want to be able to distill that down to ideally just like a single-page resource. And number two, the other thing that jumped out, and unfortunately, we as salespeople, we don't have a lot of control over this. But we asked the question, how much or how little does the credibility of the champion influence your decision?
Mm.
You know, pretty much every CFO said 100%, which again is kind of shitty. The situation, I'm sorry to use a curse word, that, you know, a position to be put in, because if, you know, Victoria or someone on her team is trying to sell through a champion, she has no way of vetting whether the champion has credibility built internally. It's just one of the other things that we got to be mindful of. But last but not least, big thing that we learned, and again, this was 30 days or so after Silicon Valley Bank collapse, all budgets were frozen and this and that. We asked the question, can budget ever be found, right? And the CFOs, again, pretty much unanimously said, if it's a good idea, we could find budget somewhere. Right. So that is where the asterisk comes in. Budget's always going to be an issue, but I would implore sellers to just keep in mind that, again, from the CFOs, again, a decent sample size, maybe close to around 50 B2B software companies, the demographic that we sell into, in a terrible environment, one month after the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, when no one was spending money on anything. CFOs still at that time were saying, like, yeah, we'll spend it money. We could find the money if it makes sense. Right. So that's part of the onus on the salespeople. How do we empower the champions to make sure that this does make sense, that they can make a compelling case internally?
Now, Victoria, is there something that you coach your team on whenever they hear budget come up? Like, early, we have about 50 55% of the room individual contributors. Like, what would you say to them when they hear budget come up immediately?
I mean, usually I'll probably say, and this is from an SDR perspective, so we're the front lines, right?
Yeah,
so when you're getting that objection on the call, like, hey, totally understand, like, budgets are tight right now. But, you know, understanding budgets are tight, like, would love to just have a conversation, given this is your pain and what I, like, come in a consultative approach. Like, hey, I already did my research. I know where you're bleeding. I know where the pain is. And here's how we can help. Just looking to have a conversation at the end of the day. Worst case, you leave with knowing some extra knowledge or something, right? Like, just looking to have a conversation about it. But always go in with the research of, like, hey, I know where you're bleeding and I know what's happening. And I will add too, like, poke around in the company, try and have conversations with other people so that you can leverage that when you're speaking to maybe the buyer or the champion or someone. Yeah, that's probably how I would do it.
I love it with the extra data point.
Yeah, just adding on, I think Victoria made a really great point. You know, when we talk about champions, we get laser focused on, you know, the mobilizer, whatever term you want to use, you know, person that's like maybe director level above, he or she is going to be able to help impact the decision making. Don't sleep on user champions, right? The actual people who are going to be the end recipient, the user, hence the name of your product, building excitement amongst, you know, the rank and file, so to speak, could even help, you know, make a decision much easier when it does come to the CFO, because then not only do you have credibility from the champion, but you have a whole lot of users, potential users of a solution saying, like, hey, this would be really cool. We'd actually use this if we bought it, which helps overcome an objection that many CFOs have. Is this going to become shelfware, right? Are we going to pay for this? And then it just not get used at all.
Yep. Common challenge. Especially looking at, like, how wide a tech stack spreads right now and all of these, like, individual pieces, if you can help tell that story in a more beautiful way. I love it all. When we're thinking, okay, let's move to the next. We got about 10 minutes left. If you have questions, you can go to the bottom of your Zoom buttons, controls, and there's a Q&A tab there, and you can put any questions you have in there. You can also upvote other people's questions that you want to hear get answered as we're headed into our last data point here, executive leadership alignment. We got to do the quick poll, everyone. Legit challenge or excuse? What are your thoughts? Let me just get the quick style answer, Victoria. Legit challenge or excuse?
I think that's a legit challenge.
Yeah. Matt?
Plus one. Legit challenge.
Plus one. And I mean, I'm seeing all, I think mostly agreement here across the board. Let's talk about some ways that you've seen, how can we kind of work into this challenge internally and make sure that we can overcome it, especially for an individual contributor level or a frontline manager level? What are ways that we can help solve that? Victoria, want to kick us off?
Sure. I think this one is really important in particular, because I think at the end of the day, everyone has really good ideas. And I like the bottom where it says speak up. It doesn't matter if you're a leader or an individual contributor. If you have an idea, come to your manager or leadership, and, you know, if you see something's not working, don't just talk about it, but come with a solution, right? Because if you're just talking about it, then you're complaining. But if you come with different ideas and, you know, maybe you'll spark something that your manager or leadership might not have heard of, where you guys can get aligned. That's just one thing I would touch on. And the second thing is, you can have the best product in the world, but if your internal processes aren't aligned or your leadership at the top level isn't aligned, you're not going to be able to scale and you're not going to be able to grow revenue. So that's why it's so important that you are, like, tightly aligned across all organizations, not just sales and marketing, but product, CS, finance. Everyone is kind of on the same motion, because at the end of the day, you all work for the same company and you're all on one team there. So I would just, you know, highlight those two things.
Beautiful. Matt, how about you?
I think speaking up is key, and it's very similar to the conversation we had a moment ago about user champions, individual contributors, you know, frontline leaders, especially if you're like a startup or even the scale-up type of environment where it's, you know, 1,000 or less employees. A lot of ICs and frontline managers, they may not realize how valuable their feedback is because they're the ones on the front lines. And not only do they not realize how valuable it is, they probably don't realize how much the executive leadership team, the folks that they are sitting in the back room, you know, moving chess pieces around on the chessboard and know about the answers to everything, they don't. Right? They probably don't realize how much the executive leadership team is like actively seeking out these types of ideas. And the reason why we know that is, you know, one of the things that we do is we have roundtables that bring together their VPs of sales and CROs. They talk about their challenges, their problems. So we know that lack of feedback from the front lines can be a big issue. Mm-hmm. That would be the only thing that I would double down on from what Victoria said is, again, just be vocal, be transparent, right? If you want to affect change, be a change agent. Best way, the only way to do that is to start by using your voice, and you have the best vantage point because you are the ones on the front line.
Yeah, I like that perspective because I think a lot of times, like I remember trying to be as quiet as possible. When I first started, I was like, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to rock any boats. Like being able to share thoughts and solutions in the same breath, I think is such a good way to, like you mentioned, change agent or being the one who comes. Victoria, you mentioned earlier, like it's respected in a different way if you have the solution. I have to know, as we're wrapping up here, what's the number one for you? Out of everything that we talked about, I launched a poll: budget, competition, internal alignment. What's number one in your heart? Or you can let us know in the chat if you feel otherwise. But if you had to pick one challenge that you think holds your team back from hitting every single goal, what's number one for you, Matt?
I'd say, again, budget with the asterisk.
Budget with an asterisk. Victoria?
I want to say internal alignment. I think it's really, really important and can get in the way for sure.
Yeah. Let's see what it's a close. It's the close one here. Let's just see before we wrap up. We've got budget with an asterisk as number one, and then competition, then internal alignment. So interesting. So interesting, a couple extras in the chat here. Love to see it. Okay. Time flew. It went way too fast. But thank you so much for all of your thoughts and sharing with us and some of the ways that we can overcome this, because it sounds like it's what was my legit concern, not just an excuse for most people in the room. So I really appreciate it. Where can people find you? LinkedIn,
sure.
We'll drop your LinkedIns here in the chat so people can connect with you. And thank you so much for joining the show today. Tomorrow's show is on LinkedIn prospecting with Will Aiken, Chelsea Olson, and Tim Olsoyres, some of my favorite people talking about LinkedIn. So make sure you tune in there as well. Last minute Monday musings. Go team.
Have
eat. Yeah. Happy selling, everyone. Enjoy. Thanks again. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Cool.